it's really awesome to have you here, Cooper. I mean, it's crazy what has happened in the morning. I mean, you wrote me half past 9 my time. I mean, I missed the phone because I was having breakfast. I was still in my sleeping suit. And then you told me that you made it into the snooker final, and I immediately had the feeling, okay, yes, just fucking do it. You will win it. And what happened?
I'll show you what happened.
This is just fucking crazy. So Cooper just won the snooker tournament. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's the first snooker tournament I've ever entered in my life. I didn't think I was going to get to the second day, let alone all the way through the second day, and to win, which is why I was like, yeah, podcast will be fine, 8 p.m. Sunday. But honestly, what Manuel left out there was that he messaged me back and knowing that I was concerned that, you know, and it was bothering me that it was going to go over and I had to deal with, you know, one or the other. And he was just like, no, you go do it. You focus on winning. It empowered me. And I think honestly that played a big part in really bringing it home. So man, I can't be more grateful.
Yeah, so I'm really happy to have you here. I mean, that's the highlight of my week, actually, as I already said, because I was so much looking forward to seeing and hearing and actually feeling you again. I mean, we are making this over distance now because obviously in these times it's tough for musicians, traveling musicians like you to come over and play live gigs. And therefore, that's the basically that was the originator for this live artist lockdown live special series. Yeah. That I invented 2 weeks ago because, yeah, I mean, it suddenly appeared. I can't really explain, but it felt right. So I thought, let's just fucking do it.
Man, you brought it along so quickly. And there's so much to configure with making sure everyone's equipped and the amount of work you would have had to do to make sure this streams to different places is insane. I know I've done it before. To pull it together in 2 weeks, including all of your guests. That's pretty incredible. So props to you and thanks for having me. I feel very honored.
Thank you very much. Before we start, I play my jingle. It's in German because this is the second English interview. Basically, I probably need to make it in English also, but then all the international listeners can learn a few words of German. And then we start.
Hier triffst du Menschen, die einfach mal machen. Just fucking do it. Gespräche mit mutigen Vorausgehern.
So even you probably not understood every word, but I mean, it's a drags down the quarter mile. So it's about getting the horsepower on the ground. And this is basically all what this format is all about. It's about talking with people telling stories that just fucking did it. And I mean, you just proved today that it's possible to just fucking do it and just winning a snooker tournament, even you didn't expect it. And so many people have dreams, have big visions and just have a fear of starting because people are telling them, probably you're dreaming too big and this doesn't work out. But there are so many people that just try it because their desire is so big. And yeah, something really amazing comes out, and you are one example for this. And we met last year actually in Ryan's living room here in Munich. Ryan was my guest yesterday evening, and he's a musician, UK musician from living here in Munich. And that's where I met you. What do you remember from that time?
Oh, that was a crazy time, my friend. I do my best to remember the very good and happy things, which was, you know, experiencing the December in Germany. I'd never experienced cold Christmas festivities before. And that was very special. And, it was so cool to meet you. And I mean, we both knew we kind of shared a thing when we first met, and we kind of were thinking on a similar wavelength about, you know, trying to make the most out of all the days. And it was really looking forward to seeing you again. But I mean, it won't be never. I'm making some plans to either come back in the summertime, in your next summertime, or to move permanently to the UK, which means I'll be much closer and visiting much more often. And all of it is very, very exciting, and all of the way that the previous year has gone has amounted in so many positive things. And it's just continuing to surround myself with great positive people, and that's all that's important at the moment, actually.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. I mean, it was a bit of a tangent, not to answer your question so directly.
No, that's. I mean, everything was included that wanted to be said at this moment. So I haven't prepared a concept for these interviews, and that's actually the concept. So not having prepared any questions, I mean, it's not a press interview or something asking stupid questions that are asked in every interview with a musician. I mean, of course, there will be obviously occurring some questions here and there about some songwriting or text or stuff like that, how you came to your music. But basically the idea of this is just starting with showing yourself, who are you, what are you doing? And as you are a musician, the right thing to start would be with some music, I guess.
With a song. Cool. This song is 2020 for me. An ode to my beautiful partner, and the way that we've been able to press through all of the difficult things together and end up in this beautiful part of the world, which I'll tell you a little more about. It's Matt Corby's song, Resolution. Giving up this whole life on me, call it out like a family. Still about my time, won't get it right until the rubble leaves the road. You said don't lie, so I made the truth. Seemed like a lie to even you. Control your fear, it's clear that you do not know where you're going to. So don't you worry, you will be my resolution. Havoc dissolve, no illusion, no. You will be my resolution. One month down and it's in sight. Oh, I'm guaranteed to lose my mind. It's dangerous to speak and say. You might know what I'm trying to hide. So from the cradle to coverage. Oh, I bought the book but didn't flip the page. Oh, readiness is near, we stay as far away from the coming of days. So don't you be my resolution. Carve it, dissolve, no illusion, no. my resolution. Characters of no illusion. You be my resolution. So turn around, put it down and see that this is really the place to be. I am not you, nor you me. But we're both moving steady. I really like that song. But,
this is amazing. It's a new song that you just wrote this year?
No. This song is by Matt Corby. He's an Australian singer-songwriter from Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he's one of my biggest influences. And Kat and I had the privilege of seeing him in March about 3 days before Australia went into lockdown. It was just in the nick of time, and that song means so much to me. It means so much to a journey that I've taken, and you know, that song of Matt Corby's really suggests, I can't say a similar journey because the journey was pretty horrible, but that song came from somewhere very real, and it means something very deep to me. So I love to play it, and I haven't been playing it because I haven't had shows to play it at. But I will be playing it much more.
Thanks for sharing that with us. So to open up a little bit for the people that probably not know who Cooper Lower is, who are you actually? What's your story? Where are you located? What's your story?
So, I'm 22 and I'm from Australia, and for the past 3 or 4 years, I have been traveling back and forth from the Australian summertime to the European summertime. I spent some time in North America as well a bit, and last year I was based in London, but every time coming back to Germany and loving it there and loving the way that people respond to what I'm trying to put into the world, and it just means that it's a place that I'm determined to come back to every single time. I did my first winter tour of Germany, which is when we met, in December, and that was the first, you know, crazy time where I was like, wow, I can tour a place once every 6 months and people will still come. That is crazy. And you know, it felt like the momentum was really happening, and things were starting to come along. And of course, everyone has their own unique and very complex kind of hardship associated with the virus and the way the world's been for the past 9 months. And I guess one of the things that was most significant for me was the halting of that momentum and having to stop and slow down and stay in Australia for a winter, which I forgot is cold. And so yes, my partner and I, Kat, we locked down in March all the way through to June. With my family back in Victoria, which is the state where Melbourne is and is in the south east corner of Australia. That's where I've grown up all my life, in quite regional places, in very small communities, and just trying to fix the, I guess I just had a travel bug because I had lived in such a small, tiny town for so long. And I knew that there was a big world out there and I wasn't sure what was in it, but I knew I wanted to go find out. And when I finished school, I'd already been doing music for a while and I'd released my second album as I finished my secondary education. And I saved some money, bought a plane ticket to Switzerland to visit my friend Yannick. And while I was there in the first week, bought a battery and a microphone stand and a cart. And I started traveling around Europe via train, busking for money to go to the next city, and then busking again for more money to go to the next city. And that was 3 months worth of entertainment and meeting incredible people who said, hey, come play a concert at my house next time. And I was like, what are these house concert things you do? I've heard of them, but like, are they worth doing? And honestly, it's hard to explain to my Australian friends, especially my Australian musician friends who haven't had the privilege of playing music in Europe. It's like a whole other world of just live music without the bullshit, without the loud drunks in the back of the bar, without having to negotiate with any stern bookers. You just talk to someone and they say, hey, want to come set up in my lounge room? And you do. And of course, my tour in December consisted half of house concerts and half of other gigs, including the Tollwood Winterfest in Munich. And this is where we met. And I just started doing those more and more and building a following and connecting with people and wash, rinse, repeat for a few summers and winters. And that brought us to March. So even more information is that the first lockdown in Australia ended in about late May, I'm going to guess. And then Kat's from the UK, and she, in order to stay in Australia for an extra year, needed to complete 3 months of farm work or mining work or bushfire volunteering. And these three categories are part of the requirement to extend your visa, which I think is a cool idea because it stimulates jobs in places where people aren't usually traveling through and working, but there's a lot of exploitation of backpackers that goes on in Australia, as we found out, and it's very common, and it's a little bit sad because backpackers are some of the coolest, most interesting, curious, friendly people you'll ever meet, and all they want to do is sit in their van and watch the sunset, which I think is true for my partner for sure. So yeah, we left Victoria, and then 3 weeks later, Victoria went into lockdown again, and none of the rest of the country did. So we traveled in our van up to New South Wales, which is the state above Victoria, and we settled in a little town called Milton, which is on the south coast of New South Wales, and it is the most gorgeous place you could ever wish to come, with a small but progressive community of, you know, independent businesses and wonderful cafes. And we've been so, so happy here. And since June, we've called this place home, and now we're living in a beautiful little place called Sanctuary Point, which is nearby Jervis Bay. If you have some Googling time tonight, you could Google Jervis Bay. If you hadn't heard of it before, it is a paradise. It is a paradise. And we are so, so lucky to live close by. And Kat's working in a bakery. I'm working with, it's hard because you can't see behind me, but there are two studio monitors and some microphones, and I'm recording people, also teaching some guitar and just getting by and innovating the best I can. And I've been cooking a lot. I've discovered that I can control my meal, which means I can put as many olives in anything that I want and no one can tell me different. And I can't wish there were more olives in something. I can just do it. I can make it. But I haven't been making very difficult things. We've got a gas stove, which is from our van, and a very, very small bench in our little apartment. So it's not a five-star kitchen. But it's enough for me to make some dinner for the family whilst Kat's at work. And then she comes home and maybe I'll be teaching guitar or recording. We're kind of just working this yin and yang and trying to keep each other, motivated for the days whilst things are a little bit slower. It's warming up. So we both flourish in the sunshine and have to pay a little more attention to the important things when it's cloudy. So we are very, very grateful constantly for the sunshine. And about 100 meters from our front door is where two creeks meet, and then they go out into this big, big basin is what it's called, St. George's Basin. And we can just walk 100 meters to the creek, jump in, and then run back home, shower, and continue with our day, and maybe do that twice or three times. It's been 36 yesterday and 37 today degrees. I mean, so the creek has been a savior. Still quite warm now, actually, inside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for drawing these pictures. I can have really good imagination of how you live at the moment, and also a feeling of it. So it's really a pleasure to listen when you explain that with such a calmness. So I really, really enjoy that. Before I forget, I want to make the people aware out there. When you were talking about basking your trip through from city to city and collecting some money, we have also set up a PayPal money pool. So if you like what you hear today and also want to listen to the other artists that have been guests of this format over the course of this week, then feel free to visit the link. If we haven't posted it yet, we will do that afterwards and drop some money in. It makes it helps the artists of this week to survive, basically, or help them a little bit to keep on going with what they are doing, because we often experience, or at least from the outside, I had that discussion with Ryan yesterday evening also, that it's sometimes tough for musicians to live from their music and what they do, and it's really important, especially in these days, to support that, because we have a campaign here in Germany. It's called Ohne uns wird's still, so without us it will be quiet. And everybody that is listening to today and thinking about that, I guess this is not what we all want to have. So,
thank you. It's been, when you first asked me to be on the podcast, your motto is just fucking do it, and all about preaching motivation toward your vocation and making all of the day's worthy, and I was a little bit apprehensive initially, because actually music hasn't been a very big part of my life lately. Only in the past 2 weeks have I returned to teaching and to recording and producing. And I didn't want to come on the podcast and say that actually part of my artist's reflection over the pandemic has just been playing no music, but I've done my best to talk to as many musical friends as I can, and I think the best way to imagine the reception that we get from playing in front of people is like a lava lamp is like you need the response and the reciprocal from what you put into the world, and in order to carry on and to be motivated to create and to understand why you bear the hardship of committing to creating for your entire life as your career. It's not very lucrative, you could say, but that's not all, you know. It's not all about money. It's just you have to sacrifice a lot. You have to deal with being, you know, not always super secure and not sure where you'll be. You're not able to make plans as much as, you know, because you don't know if this opportunity will do this thing for you. And every vocation has their own individual hardships. And I think I've been battling lately with the justification for being an artist if the industry is this vulnerable. You know, artists are the first to be made redundant. Artists are the first people, you know, if there's a mega fire in Australia like there was January, artists are the first people to put their hand up to say, hey, let's raise money, we can do it for free. And then artists are the last ones back on their feet after things go wrong. And I guess combined with not having that reciprocal, it's been tough to justify. But actually, no, I think being an artist is prevailing for me, and continuing to create is prevailing for me. And I just have to be gentle with it and not force it, and understand that everything ebbs and flows, even if this is a very, very uncertain ebb. This is a phrase in German as well, I learned recently, ebb. I just wanted to let everyone know that amongst all of the potentially sad and devastating things I just reminded everyone of, this podcast and people like Manuel connecting and spreading the importance of art in the world from his position and his platform, and just reminding people that we're still here and we're still kicking, even though we're not being very noisy at the moment. That's enough lava lamp coming down to send me back on up. You know, it's really, really so meaningful, and I just appreciate it more than you would know. The show will go on, and without us, things will be quiet.
I appreciate your words, and I like the picture, the imagination with the lava lamp. So it's really explains it very good. Yeah. Do you want to take it into another musical flow?
Yeah, that sounds fine. That sounds great for me. This song I have been playing for a year or so now, and I wrote it in Frankfurt, actually, with my, well, no, I conceptualized the song in Frankfurt, and I wrote it with my friend Saskia Kurz in Munich. She's an incredible violinist and super friendly, happy, cheerful person, and we had a really good time. We were eating something delicious. I can't remember what it was, but we just sat out on a sunny afternoon of her friend David's backyard and kind of wrote this song. And I struggled to write in a co-writing capacity. One, because I'm very precious about the words that I call and label my own, but two, because sometimes it's a process of feeding through all of the shit before you find something that's actually worth holding on to. And maybe that line will take half an hour and then you're onto the next line, and it seems sometimes a bit painstaking. But she was so patient and so respective of my creative process, in because she was like, I'm not writing the words, I speak German, but of course she's got great English, but you know, she was like, yeah, the words are your bit, we'll just work on putting the song together. And before I left Australia, I supported my I could call friend because sometimes we meet for coffee, but my hero and mentor, his name is Daniel Champagne, and he is a percussive guitarist and plays a similar, well, he plays the same kind of guitar as me, Cole Clark. And we played a show together, and which is always just the biggest honor in the world. He's released an album very recently, and this song is written in a tuning that he showed me, or I configured from one of his songs. For any guitarists out there, it's C, D, C, G, D, G, B, E. So it's a B, G chord with a C bass. And I think it's beautiful. So this song is called Sister, but I have been playing, because I just love the way it sounds with the song so much, a Daniel Champagne instrumental with it. But I have to make the disclaimer that this part is not mine, and it's very important that he gets the credit for that. But it's, of course, the rest of the song is mine, and the guitar's not very complicated, so it's, you know, it's just the song from that point on. I'm going to put the camera down just a touch, so all of the stuff is visible. But the introduction is from a song called Supernova by Daniel Champagne, which is a stunning song. We sound in tune, that's fine. And please check him out and give him credit and tell him I'm thinking of him. He's based quite nearby where I am at the moment. We caught up a couple of weeks ago and talked about music and identity and, you know, pressing on. And America, we were talking about America a little bit as well. So yes, this song is called Sister, and I wrote it after a phone call that we had when I was sitting at a cafe on a really hot day in Frankfurt. And she called me and she said, you know, among other things, hi, what's up? But she called me. I said, I called you to ask something. I'm like, all right, yeah. We're not very similar, my sister and I. We're quite different, actually. And she said, I'm nearly an adult, and I just wanted to ask, what's it like being an adult? And I mean, if we would have had a conversation when I was back in Australia, it's like, can you pass me the tomato sauce, please? But here's my almost 18-year-old sister calling me going, what do I do in the real world? And I'm baffled, but also I've been waiting years for this. Let me share my wisdom. Anyway, I just told her a few things that I thought to be true, but I wrote some of them down, and then as it happened, some of them rhymed. And yeah, it turned into this song called Sister. Enjoy with Daniel Champagne's instrumental as a intro and outro. Can I lend a helping hand, my friend? I've been searching for the answers. I've learned a couple things along the way, like how to stand and fight again, how to turn the world to embers and swallow all the things you didn't say. Oh, and I know how the nights get long when you're giving up, and the times get slow when you've had enough. So you might not know that I'm thinking of you now. And I know that you got some things to say, and I know that the world ain't gonna wait. So I won't let you wish your time away. No, I won't let you wish your time away. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. I know you're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. I know you're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. So take care on this quest, my friend. Be near in every moment, and always use the help along the way. and play fair to the best you can. Be fearless, burly ocean, and don't confuse yourself among the waves. Oh, and I know how the nights get low when you're giving up, and the times get slow when you've had enough, and I might not know that I'm thinking of you now. And I know that you got some things to say, and I know that the world ain't gonna wait, so I won't let you wish your time away. No, I won't let you wish your time away. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. I know you're gonna find a way. I know you're gonna find a way. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. Find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. You're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. Hey sister, you've been on my mind. I know you're gonna find your way. I know you're gonna find your way. Once again, the Daniel Champagne intro. Just in case anyone joined mid-song and thought I wrote the end bit.
Thank you.
If I haven't made that clear enough.
Thank you very much. How actually, Cooper, did you come to take a guitar and start playing music? So do you remember which age and what the occasion was that you, where you discovered that guitar or music in general is something that attracts you?
I was a very, very chubby kid. That's the truth. And I've just lowered myself down. And I wanted to impress a girl, and girls like guitar. So I started playing the guitar, which is a terrible, terrible excuse to start playing the guitar. But that's how it happened. That is the truth. I never got the girl, but now this is my job, and I think the trade-off has been fair, if not in my favor. Bless her. Her name's Ruby. I started playing guitar when I was 13 years old, or maybe late 12. I lived, as I mentioned before, in quite a regional part of Australia, and the town I lived in had a total of 70 people in, who would mostly commune in the pub on a Friday night, and no one knew how to play guitar as far as I knew. So I taught myself using YouTube, and I found all these crazy players who did a bunch of hitting and tapping and hands flying. And I thought, I've just got to do a bit of that. And I started learning some techniques and just slowly, via a mixture of, you know, being completely unguided, but also having so many different influences and just having to have confidence in what I was doing was right. But also, you know, when I found great guitarists, I'd just say, hey, can you just sit down and teach me everything you know quickly? Thanks. And constantly finding people to teach me things, and actually once you start playing and meeting people who also love guitar, it's not a chore for them to talk about it. Actually, they'd love to do that, and it's so often the case that if you want help, you should ask for it, because someone will give it to you. None of my family were musical, and my mum and my dad support me absolutely beyond anything, but they don't know what's going on. Like, I explain things sometimes, but they're just full-time cheer squad. But I mean, mum did a lot of driving me to gigs before I could drive. So that was a start. I was playing pubs from when I was 16 and just filling up a car with petrol and booking out her weekends as well as mine. but essentially, just really, really having a crack is the saying in Australia. Just giving it a really, really good effort is the loose translation. I just realized I should potentially not speak so esoterically if over half my audience is potentially European.
That's just perfect. I mean, I'm listening. I really enjoy you talking, so I don't have to ask so much questions. Everything is developing naturally, so it's just, I mean, as it comes up, and that's the concept of this format and why I so much enjoy it, because I mean every interview, the musician special is a mixture of playing music and swinging, singing to making music together and talking. And every date basically is different somehow. And I always enjoy it and go naturally through it. I mean, listening to my intuition, and then just what comes up at the moment is exactly the right thing that is supposed to show up, just like in the morning when you had the opportunity to win your tournament. I mean, that's what was supposed to happen then. So, and we didn't know before that it's going like that, but...
Forgot about it. You've just reminded me. I'm so happy. I feel that as well with the whole unguided, just like, oh, I think Manuel will care about this. I'm going to tell him that right now. And then 3 minutes passes and I'm still talking. That's a best podcast to listen to, I think.
Say again?
Those are the best kinds of podcasts to listen to, I think. Just, you know, although we are talking about things that we find interesting and you know, there's a general direction, but those podcasts where people just get on and talk shit, so entertaining, so great for just that found time. Honestly, I listen to more podcasts than I do music. That's my confession of the Just Fucking Do It podcast series 6. I listen to music as a dedicated activity. But I find it very hard to listen to music as a form of background noise, just because I'm listening to it very intently and as a result not doing what I was probably trying to do. I like driving quiet, and people would probably assume that because I'm a musician that I've got a banging Spotify playlist, but it's pretty calm and relaxed, I'd say. I like listening to the engine and winding down the window, even if we're going very fast. Mm-hmm. And Kat's not like that at all. So when we drive together, we were talking about it the other day. It's my preference to not have music on, and it's her preference to just bop along and sing the whole way. I mean, it's a compromise. So we listen to podcasts.
Yeah, really, really great. And I mean, I never thought, if you would have been talking like a half a year or 9 months ago, and you would have told me that I will have a podcast with 20 episodes already, I would have said, no, why should I do that? And yeah, but it somehow developed and it felt right. And I just followed the signals and put together the pieces, and somehow this is what it's all about now. And it's so there's so much passion in it, basically, because I get so much feedback from people connecting, also the guests that appeared in the episodes that are connecting because they see in the episode of somebody else, and that's probably the piece that they just need at their current where they are currently standing, and looking for the next piece that they need to on their journey. And only this is so has so much value in itself, and because that's the network, and that's the basically the asking for help. I mean, there's all, I really liked that when you said that before. I mean, there's always somebody there that is happy to give you what you need. But I mean, the person that is looking for something, probably not always knowing what he or she is looking for. I mean, talking about intuition. And on the other side, you don't know exactly who is having what I need at the moment. So this is also something I want to give with this format. I mean, showing this is what we have, what we do. And if there's only one person out there that says, wow, this impressed me, this is what I needed right now, then this is, we did that for you, for this person, because that enables you to make the next step, and that, yeah, it's basically what makes us happy as well. So share your story. That's what I always encourage people to do. Share your story. I'm 100% sure that everybody has a story to tell. And I mean, obviously it's not everybody's, not everybody likes to talk about their story publicly or share everything, but I mean, there's always somebody out there that exactly can benefit from what you have to tell, from your experience, to make the next step on his very own journey and to succeed. And I mean, be it a snooker tournament, or be it making your dream of becoming a musician bring it to reality, or like my coachy Dennis, who starts, I mean, he signed a coaching contract yesterday, and he has such a big commitment to make his dream real, to start a restaurant in these tough times. And he's no cook, he has no money, and he just quit his job because he's dreaming of this since he's 12, and he's in his early 30s now. And now it feels right for him to do it, even all the restaurants need to close down during these lockdown times. But he's so convinced, and I believe in him, that he will succeed, because he's so passionate about what he's doing. So it's the right thing, and everybody should listen to his inner voice and follow it, because it won't let you go if you do something else. It will be just delayed somehow, but it will come up. And yeah, that's my motivation to do that, to encourage people to follow their dreams and just make it real. Yeah. You're such a good example for that.
It will happen.
It is happening. Promise. It is happening. That's the thing. That's what we always say every time I'm together with Dennis. I'm saying, Dennis, it's happening. It's happening. We're already making the steps.
Good correction. I prefer that. It's happening, Dennis.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off before and like.
No, that's okay. Fine. So I'm waiting for you playing The Man of Good Intention, because this is my favorite song.
Okay, So that's possible. Have any ground to cover whilst I tune, so everyone doesn't have to just listen to me tuning? Please,
I'm taking over. Yeah, so probably I'm telling that story. So I don't even know if it's the title of that song, but I mean, that's what that's the part of that song that really caught me. And because that's how I perceive you, basically. You are a man of good intention, and that's what you carry with your music. So when I experienced you in the living room of Ryan, and hearing that song, and with all the everything that came to me through your vibes, and I thought, like, yeah, this man, he has such a good intention, such a smooth, he's feeling so smooth and so I'm struggling with the English words now. It's not so that I have to, you're not forcing somebody to buy into what you're doing. You're just smoothly sneaking in through the back door, somehow offering something, and invite people to join what you have to share. And that's what I perceive as your good intention in terms of the music that you make. And then I come into a position where I am able to allow myself to say, I'm opening up for what is presented there, and enable to develop something new, whatever that is. So that's what I combine with that song, basically.
Yeah. So speaking of this song, it's called Eden, and speaking more specifically of developing into new things, this song has really taken on a journey and a completely different meaning from what it already intended to be. And it is almost specific because of the line, "I'm a man of good intention." An extraordinarily, it's hard to go deeply into it without extending us to about 8 hours long. But some things happened in my life, and by things happening, I mean I did some things which really, really didn't suggest that I was a man of good intention. And why did I still feel like that line was justifiable in my life? And when you spoke how you did just then about and the commitment to putting something good in the world with my guitar, and that feel still very sure about having good intent and the pursual and continuation of that good intention need not be dismayed by the I've had with that very line itself, and it's been sweet for a while, but it's coming sweet again, and it tastes good, and it's strange, and I'd love to share this part of my life with you another time. I think it would be a really interesting thing to reflect on with you. But as it goes, and as the song goes, this is a song about taking responsibility for yourself and your position in the world, and your commitment to yourself and to others, and into the night. That darkness suggests things that you need to overcome in order to take on that role within yourself. For example, if you can look after yourself, you're doing a really, really, really already. Like, if you can really back yourself, you should celebrate mentally. And furthermore, if you can then get a good grip of looking after yourself, and you can extend that to your very, very best friends and your immediate family, and you can trust yourself to be a support for those people when they need them, if they need it, and once again, you're doing incredibly. Bless you in this world. Thank you. Some people have this ability to do those two things, plus look out for other people they don't know so well and reach out and make themselves available and present themselves as help. And Manuel, I see you as one of these people in my mind. Really, it's just such an incredible thing that you could, you know, and some people within themselves by doing that, which is another incredible world. I kind of just gives us a yin and yang. If we're not sure what to do for ourselves, we do things for others, and then that's like doing things for ourselves. It feels just as good. And the last step is, what can you take responsibility for that you can't affect? So, for example, I have skin that is this color, and it won't change. I will be white, and I will be a man for the rest of my life, I imagine. And how does this affect the things that I talk about and the things that I see as important, and the people who I am willing to listen to and the people who I'm not willing to listen to, and what I'm going to entertain in my life? And this is a huge, huge conversation, but you know, if you can do all of those things, and then the final stage where you start by arguably, because it's quite, you know, pretty tough to like get by all the days, you know, but if you can like spend time caring about things that perhaps you don't need to immediately and putting effort into them and accomplishing things with Realm, like you are there, and that's incredible. This was the longest introduction to this song I've ever done. I can assure you it doesn't go like this on stage all the time. But the significance of it is best shared with people like you, because it's something that I really feel, as in you just don't ever stop committing good intentions, just keep staying curious how to be good and how not to be bad and how to help best and how to step back when you Thanks for listening. I'm gonna play this now.
Thanks for this introduction.
This song has a percussive take, and I don't know if I'm gonna be able to play it sitting down, because there's a hit right on the bottom of the guitar there. I'm gonna just wing it. I'm gonna just try and get my leg out of the way. I'm just gonna. It will probably go okay. Probably can't pass any more than that, though. This song is called "In the Night," and it's Manuel's favorite. A simple man with a simple truth. So kill you all, freeze, reveal secrets till you're tangled in the mold. I mean no harm, even if I do. I'm a man with good intentions. In search of the truest version of me. So take the pieces of your mind that took the longest time to find, and bottle them all up and sell them to me. Follow me slowly and without fear. Be elusive, be a shadow when the stars appear. Into the night, don't let him see you here. Into the night, don't let him see you here. It's very odd sitting down. I'm a man of good intention. In search of the truest version of me. So take the pieces of your mind. Took the longest time to find. Bottle them all up and sat on them. Follow me slowly and without fear. Be elusive, be a shadow when the stars appear. Into the night, don't let him see you here. Into the night, don't let him see you here. This is the part in the live show where I usually break down a little bit more about what's happening on the guitar here. So for anyone who hasn't seen percussive guitar before, or for anyone who hasn't seen me play before, I'd like to just teach you a little bit more about how I've put everything together. With my middle finger and with my index finger, I can play a very simple bass line. With my ring finger here, I can add some context to those chords. I can further that line along. Now Now, the advantage to being able to play the bass and the melody with just my left hand is having my right hand free to choose from some different techniques. Now, the first one is a harmonics technique. Now, these are a sonic phenomenon that occur on the 12th, 7th, and 5th fret of the guitar, and they're also possible with one hand. The second hand can also imitate tapping. Now, this is a technique where you press very firmly on the guitar, as you can see my hands here. And this is also something that's obviously possible with my right hand. And you can make melodies like this. But, of course, I've been playing the drums. So I'd like to introduce my kick drum. A snare, another snare, my hi-hats, and my scratchy thing. So, the drums to this song are not too hard, really. The left hand sounds like this. And together, so I dropped my guitar off my knee then, but it went together just. So I'm going to spend the last part of the song putting the pieces there in a couple of different ways. So follow me slowly and without fear. Be elusive, be a shadow when the stars appear. Into the night, don't let him see you here. Into don't let him see you here. Follow me slowly and without fear. Be elusive, be a shadow when the stars appear. Into the night, don't let him see you here. Into the night, don't let him see you here. I'm glad to find out that's your favorite.
Thank you so much. I really love it so much. Even the video quality is not too good, and also the audio quality. So I wanted to ask you if you have do you record it also locally, by the way? Accident. Do you have a recording of the session?
Of the session. I don't think I do.
All right. Okay. So never mind. So yeah, but if you want to see that that song in a better quality, I have made a video last year in Ryan's living room, so I have posted that on my timeline. It's public, so everybody who wants to watch it in clear quality, how you did it back then in Munich, so feel free to watch it there. So yeah, I just love it. I just love it. So thank you so much.
Probably got the tutorial on the video as well, right?
Yeah, so it combines so many parts of basically all the parts that are also part of you. I mean, not just the technique, but also the feeling and the story and everything. So that's probably why I like it so much, and also obviously the explanation part. And thanks for the introduction, the long introduction. So yeah.
Yeah, I think in conclusion of it, that song's over a year old. There's so many meanings it's taken to me, but I think overall it's a reminder of the commitment to just try. And trying will be difficult because it's much easier to just stay on the couch, but just keep being curious about what's good and curious about what's bad and curious about whether there's good and or bad in you. And sometimes there is. Sometimes we have to deal with things like anger and jealousy, and maybe they're the two best examples of things that we go, oh, I feel that, and it's in the way, and I have to figure out why, or else it's going to be tough for a while, and it's going to stay unresolved, and a little part of me is going to know it's actually that, and I don't want to just let that go unguarded, you know, and that's something that we're all possible of taking on, and actually it's quite meaningful to take it on, and that's kind of what that song means to me now. And when I wrote it, it didn't mean that. And I love how songs do that. It's one of the more special parts of being able to play the songs, you know, over an extended period of time to different people who go, oh, this song made me think of that, of this thing that happened to me in my life. And this song, you know, really summed it up for me. And it's completely different to what I'm sure you intend, but this is how it affected me. And some people, I guess maybe I have such a tendency to really dissect music when I listen to it, that I forget about the bigger magic. And some people are just fully committed to that bigger magic. And then they say, oh, I really felt that when you played. And just trying to convince myself that I'm capable of that inner magic when all I'm trying to do is just share ideas that I think are worth sharing. But maybe that's all it ever is.
Exactly. Yeah. that's basically what you transport somehow, and without having a a planned or designed intention. It's just what comes up in this moment, and it's just honest and authentic and intuitive. And that's exactly what makes me and you connected somehow in this specific moment. And every time it's a little different also, because it's just a reflection of what is present at the current moment. And that's, yeah, for me especially, that highly sensitive connection. And often we are with our thoughts, we are in the past or in the future, thinking about what we did, things in the past, and was it good or bad, or thinking about tomorrow, what will I do there, and then our thoughts are not in that specific moment. But if we manage to stay focused or stay present in that specific moment, then we open a door, basically, or we open our hearts to connect in this specific moment without judging or thinking it should sound like this or that, or it's probably will be better if we, I mean, specifically looking at this moment. I mean, I could think about, the audio and video quality is not as good as it was, would be if we would sit here together and in person, or have a professional setting or studio setting or whatever, but it is what it is, and still we are connected in this specific moment of time. And that's what I appreciate so much. I mean, you're sitting in Australia, I'm sitting in Munich, Germany, and still this is possible. So that's what I appreciate.
That's just incredible, isn't it?
It is. Cool. And therefore I'm so grateful to have you here. I'm looking on the watch. Probably we should try to round it up a little bit, even if I'm, it feels like it could go for hours. But I guess you want also to celebrate your win, and take the opportunity and think about what just happened this day for you and this morning for me. And also Falco Nelson, that I met when you were here last time, will be my guest for tonight. So he will be...
Falco is absolutely divine. I love that man. I have had love for him for so long. He's really one of my closest confidants, and we share on, you know, it's tough when you're across the other side of the world, but when we speak and when we catch up via phone or in person, it's like no days have gone by at all. And yeah, anyone listening now, please listen again tonight. I've learned so much from Falco. He really has the important things in his heart, I believe. And I just hope good things for him constantly, more than for myself. That's how much, that's how far, how deep the love goes, Manuel. I'm serious. He's just incredible. Yeah, Falco Nelson.
Yeah, and I met him through you, basically, and Ryan also. I mean, we've been in that bar in Munich where you had a gig, and then I didn't know Falco before, but there was also some kind of connection, and yeah, I connected him on Instagram, and we stayed in touch, and then immediately when I thought about, yeah, having Ryan and you in this lockdown special, I thought of Falco as well, and he immediately bought in and was also so positive about the idea. And then accidentally I've also found out that he's also into the coaching and psychology business somehow, so we also have a common story there. So I'm really curious what we will be talking about a few hours later today in less than 8 hours. Cooper, I'm so proud to have you here. I want to ask you a little bit about songwriting, probably. So how do your ideas or moments, probably, it's probably more moments than ideas for your songs come up? I mean, each song I perceive as an intimate story in itself somehow that stands for its own and for a specific experience that you made in your life. So how would you explain the connection between them, or probably the musical journey that makes these songs line up over time?
Not every song starts with a story as big as the two original songs I've played. And I think that's an important thing to note, because these songs have taken on new and deeper and greater meaning over time. And I've learned a lot about songwriting in the past 6 months by not doing it. And I can imagine that that sounds pretty insane, but the past 9 months of the past 11 months of my life have been about simplifying and about asking questions and about planning for how things could be much less complicated and I could be therefore much more happy. And songwriting has been affected by that as well. And now creativity is something that I approach. And I think that's important, especially when you're not having that feed in from the top of the lava lamp. Songwriting for me in the past has a lot of the time focused on the guitar. And I wouldn't fish for comments in saying that I have compromised songs so that they can have percussive guitar in them. And I think I haven't been writing to my full potential at all, because I've been committing so hard to making sure the guitar is a really prominent feature. In the past few songs I've written, for example, Sister, which is written not so long ago, is just me kind of just strum along and relaxing and actually commit more to the message and more melody And melody is really what gets in there. Like, people see percussive guitar and they're like, well, that's cool. Like, there's chords happening. Everything's still in context. And I try to be quite careful with that because some fingerstyle guitarists really alienate the audience and they're playing for their niche. It's like, you know, like really, really far in jazz cards who I respect immensely, but at the same time understand that it's not the most, it's bad for communication. I knew I had to simplify things a while ago. And by simplify things, I don't mean that I was playing incredibly difficult things that no one was able to perceive. That's not what I'm saying. It's for me, I needed to stop forcing myself to innovate on the guitar because everyone's done it before. What is actually unique to me, I think, I think that's the only way to say it without having to justify for the next 10 minutes. It's me is the thing. And I think my songwriting is where me comes out. I think that's how to say it. Everyone can do what I do on the guitar, but I don't think everyone could write the songs that I write. And that's not a statement of how good they are. That's a statement of how me they are. And I think I, in the past 6 months, have realized that more than ever. And in writing, even if I'm just doing little bits down, they're like little snippets of me. They're not little snippets of things that I think people will like. And in the past, my music has been things that I think people will like. Not exclusively, because I'm not making pop music, but I think you understand what I mean. I think it's been compromised too much by things that aren't as important as the message at hand. And whether that means my music gets much more boring in the future, I don't know. Stay tuned and find out. But
I believe it can even get even more authentic and more connected. And I mean, it's what came up in my mind is basically the words self-worth, self-confidence, and self-love. I mean, that's what's transported if you are aware of what makes up your music, basically. I mean, people would say, oh, okay, it's really crazy what he does on his guitar and all the techniques and stuff. It's already impressive somehow, but still, it's you connecting all the bits and pieces together, your voice, your story, and basically the feeling. And that's everything that's going between the lines, and you cannot define it. And that's, for me, the message of the song Man of God Intention. That's the good intention that describes what is transported in between the lines, that it's not written in the song text or can be heard of the melody. It's the feeling or the, yeah, what is actually in between. And that's what makes me connected with you through the medium of music and song text, basically. And that's what makes,
that means a lot to me.
That's what makes you and your piece of art special.
It's extraordinary to hear you use those words, and it's really given me, I can feel it already just from this podcast and what you've just said, a thrush in the lava lamp. And I thank you for that, because it's not something that someone who says you go all right in the pub, it doesn't do it for me. But you're so authentic in your excitement in your, you know, commendation and in your praise, and I'm very grateful for that. And I don't think we'd be getting into a contest if I were to just thank you before we sign off, for having a platform and dedicating yourself to this platform and to building this community of people who just, you know, want to smile more and want to really find their purpose and find what makes them tick. And I've just finished a book called Ikigai, which is the it's a book written about an island called Okinawa in Japan that has the longest life expectancy of any other place in the world, and there's a few of these places, they're called blue zones. There's one in Italy, and there's one in Ecuador, I think, as well. And there's actually one in the US, but it's a big group of Seventh Day Adventists, not as exciting as the other ones. And the crux is find your ikigai, find something that you can make money from, find something that you love, and something that the world needs. And I always forget the fourth. And it's a different fourth one every time. Love, the world needs, and that you're good at. That's it. You love, you're good at it, the world needs it, and you can make money from it. And actually, those things create your ikigai, and you identify your ikigai, you can feel your ikigai, and you pursue it. In Japan, there is no word for retire. That's the fact of the podcast Sunday, because retiring isn't really a thing in Japan. Your job is to, your quest is to find a job that you love so much that you don't want to stop doing by any particular age. They literally don't have a word for retire, and they sometimes just don't do it. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It's so incredible. I wish it were more of a staple in the Western world. And you, my friend, Manuel, are preaching that. You're preaching just your job and love your job and love what you do, because you have to spend time doing it and just fucking do it.
Yeah, and if you love, and if you love, what? Thank you, thank you for these words, Cooper. And that's exactly what I feel. I mean, if you love what you do, then it's not work. It's the purpose of your life, basically. And then you just enjoy it. I mean, I could sit here and think about complaining somehow. Oh, it's already this time, and I want to do this and that. And but I just enjoy what I do, so I don't think that way. I just appreciate the moment and having that connection, talking about these things and sharing the message. And anybody out there that connects to that level and says, yeah, wow, that makes me think, and probably, yeah, I should consider if what I do at the moment is my purpose of life, and if this is something I really want to do, or get a confirmation that he or she is already doing what he or she is loving, and getting a confirmation or appreciation of that, and keep going this way. Even people sometimes think, yeah, but you could do this or that, or should be happy with this or that, or could do more or less of something. I mean, appreciating the moment, appreciating the thing that you're already doing, and being happy with that, that's for me, that's the true goal in life, basically, is finding your purpose. And there are people out there like you, like me, or other people that speaking that language of the heart, basically, that help you guide along this way and support you. Probably, I mean, there are phases in your life where you think, oh, is this really what I want to do, or should it be like this or that, or could be more money or more whatever, then you probably should think about, okay, is the thing that I'm doing what I really want to do? And if so, then yeah, keep walking that line.
That's the one, man.
What else should we say, Cooper? I guess if you feel like playing one more last song is the right thing, then this is probably what we should do. And if not, then we should close up.
Your connection paused for a second. I think I missed what you just said.
If you feel like playing one more song before closing down, then this is probably what you should do. And if you say, let's keep it like this, then this is the exact right thing. What's your feeling at the moment, Cooper?
I think we should be like...
We should?
I think we will...
I didn't get it.
What time is it here? It's 10:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to leave it on this note.
Yeah, perfect. That feels good for me as well. Even I so much love your music, but I guess it's also a good thing because of the yeah, we are at a good point at this moment. And usually I ask my guests if there's anything that you want to add to what you already said, something that you want to encourage people out there. Is there anything more that you want to add? Note to the people, something that, a message.
Make your bed as soon as you get up in the morning.
All right.
I think that's... Just get up and do a task and achieve that task. And then you have achieved a task as soon as you've gotten up in the morning. As soon as you finish breakfast. Don't leave it lingering. Don't leave your bed unmade all day.
All right.
It's a big thing, actually.
So then I need to make my bed now.
I guess on some days when you get to maybe like 11, 12 or 1 o'clock and you're feeling like it's a very empty day and you're struggling to do something, having your bed made and a task being done plays a really big role in my personal psychology to getting back in command of that day and of that present moment. And it's just a very strange thing that has, as over the past couple of weeks, not become important to me.
Cooper, I thank you so much for your time. I thank you so much for the energy, for the words, for the good intention, and congrats again to your successful to your success today. This was such a good energy, and
I have to give it back.
Say again.
Thank you so much. I was just saying I have to give this back, and I just wanted to bring it home to show my partner because they keep it in the club.
All right.
So it's my only time I get to hold the trophy. Anyways, man, thank you for having me included in this incredible lineup, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you and Falco get up to.
Absolutely.
I will be tuning in, and thank you for contributing to that wave of artist revival, and just reminding everyone that reminding everyone that it's important to look out for each other, and giving us artists a platform to make ourselves known and share what we have while we can, and in the way that we can, which in this instance is via Zoom. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope we can do it again. I hope you pioneer another edition of what's it been like to return to the industry, and who knows if returning to the industry goes well enough, maybe we can do it in Munich.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to that, Cooper. So thank you so much for your time. And for the people that have been watching and probably were hoping for a better quality. I mean, we are a few thousand kilometers away of each other. That's just what was possible for the day, but that was exactly what was supposed to be. I really appreciate everything that has happened and the story that we could share with everybody watching out there. If you want to leave some donations, please use the PayPal money pool link that we have posted or will post under the stream. And if you want to see hear Cooper's music in a better quality, where can we find you, Cooper?
On Spotify or YouTube or Apple Music or you can write to me and I'll send you a CD.
That's great. So, and yeah, I've posted a live video also when you have been in Cooper's living room last year, where you played the last song that you just performed, which is my favorite song. Yeah, and looking forward to everything. Enjoy your the rest of your evening, and I will enjoy the rest of my Sunday having Falco Nelson up next. And yeah, saying thank you, yeah. Cooper. All the best,
my friend.
See you soon. Bye bye.